Awesome, awesome, awesome. Let's give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. Anybody cold in here this morning? Anybody cold? Anybody, if you're cold, raise your hand. If you're wonderful, raise your hand. The wonderfuls win. All right, all the wonderfuls win. Praise God. You know, doing two services is really unique because we have to get it cold because second service, it fills up, then it's hot. And so, anyway, that's the way it is. So, put a coat on. There you go. Amen. And we're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed to have air conditioning this morning. Amen. We're blessed to be able to drive to church without going through 4 or 5 foot of water. We're blessed to have church today, and all of us are way too familiar with what our friends are going through, and it just breaks my heart. And I've been on the phone. I've been trying to do what I could do and help where we can help. Matter of fact, we loaded up a bunch of guys the other night, 8 of us, and took off and got to Jennings, Louisiana, to find out that they had opened the floodgates at Toledo Bend and had flooded Beaumont and all that area again. It was already wet, but they flooded it again, and they shut down the interstate. And so it's getting better. The water's going down in some areas, but as of this morning, the water was still rising in Bridge City. So it's kind of moving around, trying to find a way of escape. And so let's just continue to pray for our friends, and we're going to pray in just a minute. Our president has asked us today to declare a day of prayer for Texas. And so we were going to do that anyway, but we're glad our president is declaring a day of prayer. Amen. Amen. And so that's awesome. And but I'm going to give you a few little things that you can do to help. One is you can pray. You can pray, and that's very important. Number two, you can give, and listen, not just us, we have a place that you can give for to us that we'll be using. We'll put that money in the right places. But let me tell you, there's a lot of good going out. There's Jonathan Suber, one of our overseers, Destiny Church, which is a network of churches. They're doing amazing things. I got a report this morning, text this morning, of some of the amazing things that's been going on with them. Samaritan's Purse, a great organization, Convoy of Hope, and then our great friends that we've partnered with on many, many occasions, Operation Blessing, which is 700 Club. And matter of fact, Operation Blessing is stranded in Baton Rouge, I mean Beaumont. They went to Beaumont to set up a shelter and to set up a site, and while they were there taking care of people, they opened the floodgates, and they got... They got stranded. All their hotels and provisions were in Houston, and they couldn't get back to them, so they slept on the floor of the church themselves. And so the rescuers needing rescuing. And so some 50-something people have passed away, died. Most of this is from rescue efforts because it's so treacherous. Rescue boats going out trying to rescue people and getting in trouble. So I thank God that people, this shows to us, and you've heard me say this before, and some people and I've had a discussion about this since I've said this in this church, but I still believe what I believe. I don't believe we have a race issue in America. I believe we have people stirring up wrath and hate. Amen. That's not real. Yes. And because people love people, and we're seeing people love people of every race and every kind. You know, when you look on the news, when the boat's empty, they have every race getting out because people love people. You know what? It's God's nature. It's our nature to love people. And it's the enemy's tool to divide. And you know what we need to do? We need to pray for the people who stir up division in our nation that's a lie. The Bible says that Satan is the author of confusion, and he's the father of lies. And what we need to do as the body of Christ is never believe the lies. When you hear the lies, denounce that lie. You know, I'm a news guy. I love the news. But I've gotten where I just turn that mess off because I'm not going to listen to the lie. Amen? Because we really have thousands, and not just in Houston area, but there's people coming in. Matter of fact, I got a report yesterday that several of the churches that I'm connected with over there, they've said, don't bring any more goods to us. Carry them somewhere else. We got more than we can give out. Isn't that awesome? And so, but Beaumont needs them and some other places need them. And we're going to keep our eyes open for the little towns. You know, Houston's in the spotlight. It's probably why they're getting inundated with stuff. But there's the little towns. I was showing my wife last night that Rockport, the town that was completely destroyed that nobody's talking about anymore, is 2 hours southwest of Houston where all the cameras are. And so we know how that can happen because our church was a part of rescuing Bogalusa and Angie and that Washington Parish when everybody else had forgotten about them after Katrina. And they were destroyed. They had tornadoes ripped through there and tore their houses down and just had no place to live. So we got our eyes open. We got our hearts open. And we're praying for the Lord to lead us and guide us. And we believe there's going to be great things. So let me go back to all my steps again. You can give. You can bring items here to the church. There's a list that's on Facebook as well as our website and Instagram of items that are necessary. We will be updating those items shortly because we'll move from recovery excuse me, to clean out and tear out. And so, you know, little things like gloves and box knives, there's never enough of those. Mask. And so there's never enough of those. And razor blades and those kind of things. So you can send that. And then the other thing is, too, is I don't know what's going to happen in the future. But let's be willing to open our homes to people who may need to come. You know what I mean? Just have our hearts open. Because it's going to be a long recovery. It's going to be a long recovery. And so one of the things that we're doing, we're partnering with the churches in the area, and we're bringing goods to our daily bread, and our church is kind of leading the way on that. But we need some manpower on Fridays between 9 and 2 o'clock. Some people that can unload trucks, if anybody has experience on a forklift, can come help us on Fridays and kind of help load and stack stuff. And so Vicky, can you wave your hand? Vicky and Louise is kind of heading that up and helping out with that. And so if you can help out on that, that'd be great. So let's just pray. Let's pray. Why don't we just grab somebody's hand next to us today? And let's pray like we can remember when it was us. Father, we're so thankful that you love us. We're so thankful, God, that you care, that you're not caught off guard in these situations, God. And we pray for our friends to the west of us, from Lake Charles area all the way over through Rockport and Victoria, Texas, and all the flooding and all the tornadoes, all the homes destroyed, the missing people, those who have passed away, their families are grieving today. And Lord, in time we recover from the loss of houses, and we recover from the losses of our goods, but we always want to remember how good you are, God. And in the midst of the storm, you're our blessing. In the midst of the storm, bring unity, bring hope, bring peace. We pray for wisdom over our government, from our president all the way down to the county men, Lord, those that are working in our government. We pray for direction and wisdom. We pray, God, that the finances that come are stewarded well. We pray, God, for those that are hurting to be taken care of. We pray, God, for wisdom in how to navigate, to get into those places maybe that nobody's been, to have our ears and eyes open to hear the hearts of people, Lord. Lord, this is the day that we get to go and return and give back, God. And so, God, we give back, we pay forward, God, all the blessings that you've bestowed on our life. You're so amazing, God. And God, give us a heart, God, every day that we get up to pray and to ask for your wisdom, God, to pray for these people, Lord, and to just touch them and comfort them in this time. And you're so good. God, you are so good. And in everything, we give thanks. And we say, God, out of the midst of the storm, bring amazing blessing. Out of the midst of the storm, bring amazing hope. Those that are lost, God, let them see the salvation of the Lord and the body of Christ. Lord, we just we just come against every negative word that's been spoken, and we just bring you praise and glory to you, Lord, for all the good that's coming. And we bless the name that's above every other name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a shout of praise. I will be taking some teams in. If you're available to go, that would be awesome. I know that you're trying to work. I do realize that. I know personally we have family that's in Beaumont that we're going to try to go. My wife and I are going to go today to try to assess some of that. But we know that they're still underwater as of today. And so we're going to try to go in and help these guys out and to help them in their time of need. So it's all good, and God is good. It's really amazing, but God is good. Today we're talking about family, and I'm not going to keep you very long today. If you believe that, say amen. There's not a single amen in the house. I'm really not going to. Hey, it's great. Look at this, 9 o'clock, man. Big crowd for 9 o'clock. Awesome. Awesome. I was telling somebody this week that we know we're starting kids' church at 9 o'clock as well as at our 11 o'clock service. I said, this is perfect timing to launch this because the saints are going to start playing, and so everybody will bring their kids at 9 o'clock. Some things you just can't beat, and that's football. So, you know, go with it, baby. You got to go with it, baby. So, anyway, praise God. And by the way, Pastor Lane is prophesying that the Saints are going to the Super Bowl this year. I told him that water must have got in over his head. So, anyway. And Moses called for the elders of the church, the elders of Israel, Exodus 12:21. And said to them, go and select a lamb for yourselves according to your clans and kill the Passover lamb. Take the bunch of hyssop and yourself, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin. And touch the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. None of you shall go out of the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through and strike the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood, and this is what I want you to pay attention to. And when he sees the blood on the lintel and on the doorpost, the Lord will pass over the door and will not allow the destroyer to enter into your house to strike you. And you shall observe this rite and statutes of you and for your sons forever. And when you come to the land of the Lord will give you, as he has promised. Somebody say, as he has promised. You shall keep this service. You shall continue to what? Apply the blood. And when your children say to you, what do you mean by this service? You shall say, it is a sacrifice of the Lord's Passover. For he passed over the house of the people of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians, but he spared our house. Somebody say, he spared our house. And the people bowed their heads and worshiped. People bow their heads and worship. There's three little points I want to pull out of this passage of Scripture. Is the obedience here to put the blood on the doorpost. And then they took the lamb and they said, when you apply the blood to the doorpost, then you're going to be spared. Your life is going to be spared. I know we're living in the New Testament day and Jesus became the sacrifice for all of us. But let me tell you something today. We still need the blood applied to our lives. Can I get a better amen? We need the blood of Jesus in our applied to our families' lives. And so then I want you to pay attention that they worshiped at the end. They continued to do what they had been instructed to do, but they recognized and they worshiped. There's something about worship that's so powerful. We go through situations in our life, in our marriages, in our relationships, in our kids, in our family. And sometimes we get caught up in the midst of what all that's going on that we would rather not be happening. But let me tell you something. Worship is a powerful thing. When you see God do something amazing in your life, never forget the goodness of God. How do I worship in the middle of the storm? I remember what God has done for me in the times past. I look to the Lord and I say, Lord, I remember how you always served and how you always was there and how you were always faithful and how you always cared for me. I don't have to have something good today going on to be a worshiper. I'm a worshiper because I'm a lover of God. And I love him. I love him. I love him. And he is good. Somebody shout, he is good. He is good right now today. He's good in our situation. And I'm talking today about how we should pray for our families. Today is probably one of the most important messages that you'll hear this year. It's so simple, but it's so forgotten. This is probably one of the most important messages of this year. We as parents have a great responsibility to pray for our families. We as men of God have a great responsibility to pray for our families. I realize that today that there are a lot of parents that are single parents, and there's a lot of responsibility on you as a single parent to take care of your child. There's mothers that are in this house that my heart goes out to you, and this year's been an amazing year for me when it just comes to single moms. The Lord has just all year long has been on my heart. Yeah, I want to honor single moms today. When you're trying to fulfill both roles of the parent and you're trying to establish all that, you're working hard and you're trying to keep money income coming in and you're trying to do all of those things, you are amazing. Amen. And I want you to know I think you're amazing. And it's not God's plan. We know it's not God's plan, but sometimes life happens and those things happen. I want to tell you today that you're not forsaken and that God loves you. And this responsibility that I'm about to speak to you today is a responsibility that will carry you through in the midst of the storm. Always remember that you have the greatest thing that you can do as a single parent is to pray. When everything else fails, pray. When it don't look good, pray. Because we have a God who loves us, he cares about us, and he's waiting to hear from us. He desires to be involved in our lives. Can anybody say amen? So we're going to call Moses Pastor Moses today. And Pastor Moses was told to lead the children out of bondage. And it was his responsibility to carry the news, but it was not just his responsibility. After the pastor had released the word to the children, the men and the families, he said, now I want you to go and I want you to put the blood on the doorpost. I want to help you today, and I'm not doing this because I don't love you or I don't care about you. I do. But let me tell you something. The pastor only has so much responsibility and so much that he can do. At the end of the day, it's you, men of God. It's you, women of God, who are the priest and the leaders of your home, that there is a responsibility upon you that the pastor can't do, that nobody else can do, that you've got to apply the blood on your own doorpost. That is your responsibility. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
So where we have responsibility, where God gives us responsibility, he also does something else. He equips us. Everybody say, I'm equipped to do this. He doesn't give you a job to do that he doesn't equip you to do. Anytime God gives you the responsibility to do something like prayer, he has the heart for prayer. Prayer is not a monologue. Prayer is a dialogue. Oftentimes when we talk about praying, we talk about going to God and saying, God, do this, God, do that. And I'm going to talk about some of those things in a minute. But sometimes when we're praying, we need to just stop for a moment and listen to what God is saying. It's in that monologue that we get to hear the voice of God. And it's kind of funny because actually I believe God spoke to me last night. And I believe God said to me last night for me to back up my phone. I honestly believe it was God because just before I went to bed, I just felt like God was saying, back up your phone. Well, I'm just going to tell you, I didn't do that. And I got up this morning and all my contacts are gone out of my phone. Now you say, well, God don't care about that. I do believe God cares about that. I believe God cares about what we feel like sometimes is insignificant in our life. But God knows that's the tool that I use every day to keep in contact with people. And so what God is about that taking care of us when we listen, we have to learn to listen. And sometimes it's not always speaking. We do so much of our praying and taught in church of our praying is blah, 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 blah. And God's saying, won't you just be still and know that I'm God. Get your ears open. Let's start beginning to listen to what God is saying. And so in this praying for your family, sometimes we think about what we need to request from God and what we need to do. But sometimes it's just obedience to do what God has told us to do and then wait on the Lord to show up and do what he says that he will do. There is no one that can pray and intercede for your family like you. No one. No one. No one's equipped to do it better than you. But there's also not just power within you. When I talk about praying, I'm not just talking about you praying as parents, but I'm talking about getting your children involved. Man, I'm going to tell you what, the Bible talks about over and over about having the faith as a child. Get your children involved and pray. Man, my children can pray. And I love to hear them when they pray. I love to hear their heart, man. I love to hear them talk about what they're going to do and what God's speaking to them about. They know what God's called them to do. They know their purpose in life. And so when I'm talking about praying today, I'm not just putting responsibility on you today. I'm saying as a family, we need to pray. And pray for, I watch people pray over their their unsaved family. I've watched kids pray over their unsaved family. I have a friend, his name's Clifton Lejeune. He prayed for 16 years for his mother. 16 years for his mother to be saved. And I will never forget the day he called me to tell me that his mother had received Christ and was baptized. I have a picture of that. Can you put that up today? I'll never forget the day that he called me and he said, "My mom received Christ." Now, we look at this picture and we think, what a blessed day that is. But a year and a half later, not unbeknownst to her that she had something going on in her body, and a year and a half later, he buried his mother. I will tell you this, you don't ever give up. Come on, somebody say, don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. No matter what it looks like. Now, I don't have time to tell you the story of his mother and her lifestyle, but I'm just going to tell you it was rough. It was rough. Don't ever give up. Sometimes when we're praying for situations in our life, we're praying for problems in our marriage or problems in our kids or problems in our family, it seems like sometimes it just not coming to pass. And the enemy would like for you to get to the place where you would just say, well, I don't think this is ever going to happen. I've been praying for years. I don't know how many times I've heard this said, but I've been praying for years, Pastor. I've been praying for years. Don't ever give up. Don't ever give up, because in God's time, he's going to come through. And remember this, always remember this. When you're praying for people, they have a will. And you say, well, I don't know if God's working on this situation. He might be, but they might be hard-headed. People have a will to choose. And so while you're in the middle of praying, You might want to just start praying this way. Lord, help this stubborn individual. I'm serious. Lord, help them, Lord. Lord, help them to feel you, to sense the love of God in their heart. Lord, bomb them. This is how I pray for the lost people. I pray, God, just come and just bomb them with the presence of God. God, just come and just pour out your love upon them. God, make it so irresistible that they cannot say no. They got to say yes. Pour out your love, God. Pour out your presence, God. Pour out your anointing. Pour out your love, God. Pour it out. Pour it out, God. Be patient. Don't ever give up. It's your calling to pray for your family. Somebody say, it's my calling. Oh, boy, y'all sound like the 9 o'clock service. Come on, say it's my calling. This is my calling. If I don't do anything else in life, this is my calling. I'm going to pray for my family. I'm going to pray for my kids. I'm going to pray for my lost loved ones. I'm going to pray for my extended family. I'm going to pray. It's my calling. So many times we lose sight of the power and the work of the Holy Spirit that is working in us and moving mountains that seem impossible. We have to keep our eyes on the purpose. Keep your eyes on the promise of God. Keep your eyes on the word that's been spoken over you. Keep your eyes on what God has already said in his word. When he said, I will fulfill, I will finish what I've started. Keep your eyes on that. Don't get distracted. Don't look at the mountain and think the mountain is too great. Matthew 21 says this, if you doubt God's power and speak out of faithfulness, you can be the one who speaks to the tree and it will wither away. Even more than that, you could say to the mountain, be lifted up and thrown into the sea and it will be done. Listen to this, verse 22, and I want you to hear this. Everything you pray, for with this fullness of faith, you will receive it. Somebody say that, with this fullness of faith, I will receive it. What is faith? What is faith? Faith is believing in the impossible. Faith is believing, Hebrews said, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not yet seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things that are not seen. It's sometimes what we are looking at becomes the distraction to our faith. Don't look at it through the eyes of what you see, but look it through the eyes of what God has promised. Let me give you a few keys of effective prayer in your life. How many want to pray effective in your families? First, let's pray for the kingdom to come. Your kingdom to come. Lord, let your kingdom come. You don't believe that God has a kingdom plan for your family? You believe that God has a kingdom goal for your family? Let me tell you something. Let me be careful how I say this, but we get so involved in doing church that we forget about the kingdom. We get so involved in doing life, we forget about the kingdom. We get so involved in work that we forget that there's a kingdom plan. Matter of fact, I'm going to say it this way. You can get so involved in trying to raise your kids that you can forget there's a kingdom purpose over their life.
Right.
The disciples said, teach us to pray. And he said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let's pray that over our families. Father, what's our prayer today for our family? This is it. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in your family as it has already been declared in heaven. I'm not praying what I want for my kids. I'm praying what he wants for my kids. I'm not praying what I want for my marriage. I'm praying what he's already said for my marriage. I'm not praying these things according to my will. I'm praying these things according to his will. When we begin to pray according to his will and speaking that over our family, we invite the kingdom of God and his ordained plan into our family's life. That changes everything. Many are the plans that we've made, but God's plan is better than all of our plans in the world. Amen? God's plan is the greatest plan. And when things go bad, when things don't go like they ought to go in our families, let's don't say, well, God forgot us. Listen, let's just remember this. It is not always the situation where we understand why things are going the way they are, but that doesn't change the plan of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Doesn't change the plan of God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And again, we're just dealing with this whole human nature. And sometimes we just, because we just accept what we see, we don't ever get what we should receive. Did I say that all right? Because we get our eyes on what we see, we never accept what God has planned for our lives. And so we just go about trying to survive. I don't know how many people tell me, I'm in survival mode. I'm just trying to survive. Let me tell you something today. God did not intend for you to survive. He intended for you to thrive. That was his purpose for our lives, that we see the supernatural of God. So let's pray his kingdom plans over our life. And when you pray, know that God loves your family and he has a plan for them. How many believe that God's love for your family is greater than anything that you have for your family? His love is amazing. And when we start praying, God, just let your love flow over my family. Let it bring us together, God. So then there's these decorations that we pray over our lives that are so amazing. And so I'm going to go through these decorations, and I'm just about through. But pray for unity. Psalms 133 says, good for us to live together in unity. This is the word of God. Lord, I'm praying Psalms 133 over my family. I'm praying, God, for unity in my family. Where the enemy would like to bring in discord, I'm saying, God, we're having unity in our family. We're going to be together. It's funny to me. It's funny to me because people say, well, I'm praying for unity, but me and my wife are squabbling. Well, if you don't ever have a squabble, something's wrong. If you always agree, I'm concerned. So don't let the devil say you had a fuss, so you're not unified. That's not, you can disagree and still be unified. I'm going to mess with you a little bit because we think perfect harmony is unity. Well, if you ever get there, you're probably on drugs, but I'm just saying, there's never going to be this peaceful bliss as life happens. But don't let the distraction of life happen and keep you from praying and believing that God has unified and brought you together. For what God has put together, let no man put asunder. We're praying for unity in our family. Number two, I had to switch these because I had love first. Pray for love. And then I thought, no, you need to pray for unity. Pray for unity before you pray for love. Let me tell you why I said that. Because if you could say, hey, I'm going to do this regardless of how I feel. Because how many times we mess love up with a feeling. Like, oh, well, I love you. I'm just so in love with you today. And then tomorrow, I'm not sure. Today, I want to strangle you. Today, I want to love you. It's kind of like, does she love me? Does she not? Listen, love is not about a feeling. Love is about a conviction. Love is a conviction. I'm going to love you no matter what. So when we pray for love, we need to realize that 1 Corinthians tells us this in 13th chapter, said, faith, hope, and love abides, but the greatest of these is love. If you don't have love in your heart, and I'm not talking about philios love, I'm talking about agape love, I'm talking about the love of God. The love of God will carry you through. When you are unified and you've determined, I'm going to be unified, I'm praying unity over my home, and then I'm going to love, not with my love, but with His love. And I'm praying that over my home and over my family. And then the next thing we want to pray for, we want to pray for purity of heart and mind. Proverbs 4:23. It said, guard the affections of your heart. It affects all that you are. Guard the affections of your heart. Lord, keep my mind pure. Keep my heart pure. Keep myself in a position, Lord, to be pure and righteous and holy before you. The next one is pray for wisdom. James 1:5 said, God will give it generously to those who ask. How many know that we can be all, you could be one of the smartest people in the world, but you don't need smarts to raise your family. You need wisdom. There's some things a book can't teach you. I get so tickled at people when they first start having kids, they read like 500 books on how to raise a child. And then they go like, that wasn't in the book. Because you know what? Your kid might not be in that book. Your marriage situation might not be in that marriage book. Now, I'm not against reading books. I read books. As a matter of fact, I'm going to recommend a book. If you haven't read Keep Your Love On, I'm recommending it today. I'm saying everybody should read that book at least once, if not 100 times. And sometimes I have to go back and reread it because I forgot what I read before, and I'm acting like I'd forgot. That's just me. And so... You have to. I'm not against reading books, but what I'm telling you is that you need to pray for wisdom. God, give me wisdom. How do I navigate through this situation? How do I conquer the storm that I'm in? Give me a download, God. I need to hear from you. And then pray for courage to face adversity. Jeremiah 1:8 said, don't be afraid of them, for I'm with you, declares the Lord. Don't be afraid because I'm with you, declares the Lord. Everybody say that with me. Don't be afraid, for I'm with you, declares the Lord. We have to have courage. There are some things that you got to learn to fight for. Come on, you got to learn to fight for it. You got to learn to stand in the position that I'm fighting. I'm fighting for this. I'm going to have courage. I'm going to face hell wide open. I'm going to win. I believe that God is in this, and he's going to give me the courage and the strength to make it. I'm going to talk about marriage for just a minute here. It's so easy to throw in the towel. I mean, it really is. You could throw in the towel. You could just like, hey, look, it ain't worth it. I'm tired. I'm discouraged. Let me tell you something. That's a lie, because let me tell you, most of you, let me just say this publicly. Most of you are not going to stay single. You're going to remarry. I know most people that get out of their marriage, they remarry. And then they're married to somebody that ain't the mother or father of their kids. And then they got all this other baggage in their life. I'm just going to be honest with you today. Sometimes you got to stand strong. You got to say, I'm going to stay in the fight. This is what God ordained. This is what God put in my life. And I'm not throwing in the towel. And I need to not be afraid. I need God to give me the courage to stand up. I need God to give me the strength to stand, put my shoulders square, and be committed to the promise of God. Because his promises are yea and amen. It's quiet in here this morning, but you know what? This is a good word. We need to just stay focused and stay prayerful. We will face adversity, but God will give us the strength. And then pray for others to see God in your family. You know what? You know where evangelism wants to start? Or start with your family. I had one of the greatest compliments this week about our family. And I kind of chuckled when this person said this. They said, I've been knowing Pastor for a long time. And one thing I love about Pastor's house, he said, it's just peaceful. And I'm thinking, that's interesting. You see, because what I look at sometimes is the times that it's not all that great, because life happens. But here's what I do know. It really, at the end of the day, there is peace in our home. You know why there's peace in our home? Because we've committed to the long term. We've committed to stay the course. We've committed, and God brings peace to those situations. Can I get a better amen? Amen. This is kind of funny. Yesterday, we got in the car to go somewhere, and my wife and I were having some robust dialogue in the car. We were communicating, and my daughter said, y'all need to practice what y'all preach. Y'all sound like a couple of three-year-olds. And then the other one chimed in with a big grin on her face. Now we're the parents. Oh, out of the heart of a child. Oh, out of the heart of the child. But you know, during that little robust dialogue, there was never a thought in my mind that this is the end of life. This is all going to be over. This is the end of the day. Because here's the deal. We're serving a God who we love, and he loves us. Amen. And he's bigger than all of our situations. Yes. He's bigger than all of our problems. He's bigger than all of our failures. And here's what I want to tell you today. If you feel like today in this conversation, well, you know what? Maybe I failed. Maybe things didn't go the way they should. Maybe God forgives. God's a God who loves us so much that he, even though we pick up where we started, where we left off, we don't have to go back and restart over again. I want you to hear me today. I teach this all the time in counseling. When our life is bad, it's not monopoly. We don't have to go back to go and start over again, because God's grace is bigger than that. He brings us into order from where we failed to where we're supposed to be. Can I get a better amen today? Amen. And the goodness of God is so good that he brings this little red flag up in us. He brings this little thing that I call conviction in our life, not to condemn us, but to bring us into order. And when the Lord speaks to our heart, we should respond to that. In your family, in your life, and things have not gone the way that you think they should go, don't give up. Keep praying. Keep believing. I've heard people say, I'm tired of praying because nothing's happening. Let me tell you something. What you can't see is not what you need to believe. What you need to believe is what God has promised. Because his promises are yea and amen. Worship team, you can come. We can be generic and we can pray some very specific prayers. And so how do we pray a more direct, specific prayer when it comes to relationships? You know what? Sometimes you just need to ask your wife or ask your kids or ask your husband or ask those that are living in your world, what can I pray for you? What can I pray with you about this week? When's the last time that you asked your spouse, hey, this week, what can I pray with you about? With your kids, what is it that we can pray? What is it that you need in your life? What can I pray with you about? What is it that you would like for we can connect together and pray together about? What's wrong with asking? You might be surprised what you hear. What are some of the things that we could pray together about? God, give us wisdom to raise our kids, to be good stewards of our time, our money, to protect our marriages, to protect our relationships. Praying for our kids to protect them from the fiery darts of the enemy. Open their eyes to see, Lord. Open their ears to hear what the Lord is speaking to them in their little young hearts. We have the power through prayer to change the course of our family. Abraham prayed to God, negotiated with God for his family that was in Sodom. They were in a bad situation. Abraham began to negotiate with God. Let me ask you a question. Have you prayed enough in your life to have a good enough relationship with God to negotiate? Daniel didn't wait till he was in the lion's den to start praying. Daniel was already praying before he got in the lion's den. I have a feeling that when Daniel got to the lion's den, he probably really wasn't too concerned. His prayer life was already established. I love the three Hebrew boys. They said, if we live or if we die, it doesn't matter. We know who our God is. Oftentimes when we get in a situation, we panic. And then that's when our prayer life begins. Can I tell you, it's a little late, but God still listens. We have our prayer life established so that when we get to the storm, we already know the voice of God. We've already heard the voice of God. Abraham began to negotiate with God and say, God, can we just make a deal here? Changed the whole course of Lot and his family because he was willing to stay, because he was willing to pray, because he was willing to stay before the Lord. Sometimes it takes just to continue to knock on the door. I'm staying here till something happens. I'm not going to give up. When God said no the first time, Abraham said, well, let's try something different. What about 50, God? Can we just be 50? Can we just say 50? What about just my family, God? Can you do that, God? Just stay the course. Just keep your heart right. Remember to always to get up and apply the blood of Jesus to the doorpost. Say, here, God, listen. I want my family to be saved. I want my family's life to be who you've called them to be. Not just to be saved from hell, but to be saved from the wiles of the enemy, from the fiery darts here on earth. I want them to live in the abundance of God. I want them to live in the who you created them to be. And so, God, I trust you with my family. Can you pray that with me today? God, I trust you with my family. I trust you with the relationship. I trust you, God, to bring peace into my home. I trust you, God, when I'm in the middle of the storm, God, and it feels like everything's going crazy, God, and I don't know which way to turn, Lord. I still trust you, God. You're a God of peace. You're a God of joy. You're a God of hope. You're a God of restoration. I trust you, God. I trust you, God. God, I'm going to believe when the prodigal runs away, I'm going to believe, God, that they're coming home. You've laid promise to that, Lord. I trust you, God. Our prayer team can come. I trust you, God. Can we bring the lights down the building today? I trust you, God. I look around this room this morning. Some of you I've known for a long time. I've known your children, getting to know your grandchildren. We could sit around the table and we could look at the negatives. We could look at the things that haven't happened. But I'm going to tell you something. I've watched the hand of God on your kids and over the years. Oh, yeah, we've talked about things like, I wish they hadn't have done this or wouldn't have done that or this decision they made. But then I look back at my life and I think, man, God's grace was on me. How many times did my mom and daddy would go, I'm not sure, Lord. I'm not sure, Lord. I'm not sure, God. I remember something my daddy said that I'm getting to practice now with teenage kids. He said, I trusted God. He said, so I went to bed at night and I went to sleep knowing that God was going to take care of my kids. He said, a lot of times I went to bed not knowing where they were or what was going on in their life, but I trusted God. I really believe this today. I believe that over the years there's been question marks, but I've watched my family all come back to the Lord. My brother this past week called me on the phone telling me how excited he was about the kingdom of God. I've never seen my brother do this. He posted a post on Facebook. I mean, my brother on. He posted a post on Facebook. I was like, oh, he's in his truck. He's posting about our church is opening up a Spanish service. Come be a part of that. He said, I can't speak a word of Spanish, but I'm going to be there to serve. And I was like, God. For y'all, maybe you don't know, but for me, it's a miracle to see what God has done. It's taken some time. There's been some storms in life. There's been some ups and downs. But guess what? God has been faithful. So what am I saying this morning to you? Don't give up on your prayers. Don't give up on your word. Don't give up on what God has promised you. His word is yea and amen. Just keep your life before Him and let Him establish all your steps. That's so good this morning. I feel such a sweet presence of God. I want you to just stand with me and bow your heads this morning. God, you're so good. I want you to make some declarations this morning. I know right now you're facing some things, maybe, but just declare today. Lift your voice and lift your heart toward God today and say, God, I declare over my marriage, God, the goodness of the Lord. I declare over my family the goodness of the Lord. I declare over my finances the goodness of the Lord. I declare over my children, Lord, your goodness. And everything that you've raised them to be, God, everything that you've called them to be, oh God. And God, I'm saying over their life today, God, I release goodness over their life, oh God. I pray, God, for blessing, Lord, to come to our household, God. And Lord, we come today to put the blood on the doorpost. When the enemy tries to come in, God, we're going to have the blood applied, God. And we're going to say to the enemy, you cannot touch my family. You cannot have my family. You cannot come on my family. We declare it today. The word of the Lord. We declare the word of the Lord. We speak the word of the Lord today. We declare goodness today and mercy today. I just feel in my heart so strongly today that there's guilt and condemnation that needs to go out of this house today. Listen, I just want to say that all the guilt and condemnation is the devil's door. You cannot live in your past. You got to say to your, hey, look, I put the past behind me. I put the mistakes behind me. I put all of that behind me. And I look to you, God, the author and the finisher of my faith. It is well with my soul. It is good. God, you've established my steps, God. You've given me grace, Lord, to walk this out. I'm going to remain, God. I'm going to remain. You're so good, God. So good, God.